2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Good evening, everybody. This is week 14 of the DFS Army podcast. I have Kevin back with me. You guys know that I wrote the article this week, so I'm the one to blame when all of your lineups shit the bed. Kevin was in Vegas spending the $20 that I PayPal'd to him on Double Zero when he didn't tell me he was just going to take that money and run with it. But he's back. He's fired up. He's ready to get rolling. So our illustrious founder, Mr. Football Geek, Kevin, how you doing?
All right, man. First of all, props for putting together the article this week. Really good stuff. I read through the whole thing. I enjoyed it very much. And no, I really did put the $20 on zero.
Sure you did.
Seriously.
I told people that you texted me that I just made up the story, but I was like, yeah, I told him put 20 on, and he says, and the timestamp came back and the son of a bitch was over Tennessee somewhere in the air. So
sure I did.
That stuff always cracks me up. I will tell you this, for people that don't realize, I did it last year, and this year was a lot faster than last year, so that part was cool. But that's not easy, what you do, writing that article, thinking about all those games, interpreting Vegas, looking at matchups. It does a good job at getting you started for the week and whatnot, and it's great information to share. But damn, when you don't have the Evan Silvas or the Football Geeks or the other pundits, the podcasts, the other guys that you can listen to on a Tuesday or a Wednesday – to kind of, I don't know, it's just, it's different. I sit there and I read it, and then I usually, when I listen to these guys and kind of form, like, oh, that makes sense. I had that guy, I was thinking of that guy. And I'm like, okay, so I'm on track. And then when that gets taken away and you sit down and you have to write this shit, it's amazing at how when you finally go back and say, okay, let's go confirm some opinions and listen to some of these guys, how different you can be. I was like, oh my God, they're saying this. I don't see that at all. And I was just like, wow, this might be a fun week. So
part of the reason, and I'll go a couple things. Part of the reason why, I always used to write and still put out the Vegas Lines column first before all of those other columns come out is because I don't want to be tainted by the opinions of other writers. That's always been my thing. I've always been the first column that comes out that really analyzes all of the games. But the other thing is, yeah, you want your concepts to come through. And as a reader, I like it when people can sort of read my stuff the same way that I read other people's stuff. I look at ideas, I look at the reasonings behind them, and this is how everybody should be. You look at when you're reading anything, like when I do other sports, I'm not an expert in NBA. I'm not able to analyze MMA all that well. That's not what I'm doing really well. So when I read somebody's opinions, I'm kind of taking what they're saying and I'm saying, well, either I agree with it, it speaks to me, or it doesn't. I like this concept, I don't like this concept. And that's how, as a player, you're still doing your own thing. Even if you're reading somebody's stuff and you're reading their opinions, you just want to take in that information. If you're just going and looking at who are the elite plays, and you don't bother reading the 5,000 words that I generally put together every week that take me, I don't know, 40 hours or 20 hours to put together, like 2.5 full, really almost full days of working to research every single game and every single mm-hmm. position, all that. And if you're not reading the words, but just kind of looking, that's not how you're to be successful or how to use this stuff.
Well, you're not going to grow. At that point, you're turning this 5,000 word article into a cheat sheet, and you're just going through the picks and the highlight. That's why we highlight the names for guys that are skimming, that don't have the time to do whatever. And that's great. But you need to read the why, what the guy's thinking, and then you can dissect whether or not you agree with the guy or whether you disagree with the guy and why.
And yeah, make your own.
And then we can go into Slack judgments. And we can debate and we can say, I think this or I think that. And it's great. So what'll be fun is I know there's going to be some areas because, like I said, I was a little, people already pointed it out, I'm a little skittish on Jeremy Hill this week. You're all in on the guy. So we're going to have some spots. Yeah, we obviously kind of disagree a little bit.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that.
So let's dive into the first game and let's get going because obviously it's late for you and we need to get these games broken up and we've got a VIP pod coming later too. So for guys that are brand new, you might want to consider joining the DFS Army and taking a harder look at us because, you know, you've got a bunch of us coaches that are very accessible in here. Let's start with the Sunday game because the other one's, you know, the ice bowl or whatever is going on tonight. And other than the KC defense, there wasn't a lot that turned out to be exciting after the temperature. But Sunday, early games, Pittsburgh at Buffalo. Pittsburgh, 1.5-point favorite, total of 47.5. This one, honestly, I think was – I missed the weather on the Kansas City game because for whatever reason, I just kind of blew through it and said this is what's going to happen. I didn't even think about it being 19 degrees or whatever. This
cold,
one
– by the way, cold should not be something that scares you off of anything.
Not too much, but you know, with cold comes wind in Kansas City outdoor stadium.
Yeah, the wind is
hard ball, slick ball, all that shit.
But I do want to point out the wind is what we want to look at. The cold to a certain extent. I mean, if it's crazy, but even at 20 degrees, that is not something that would even make me think twice. We're just looking at wind. Wind is the killer of passing offenses, and generally slows down games, offenses in general. So. Wind, like statistically, every game is unique. This game has other reasons for being good and bad in certain areas. But wind is what we're scared of. A little bit of snow, not great. A lot of snow, a problem.
And that was the debate. Because when they said, when I went reading the forecast, just to make sure, because like I said, I always look when I'm looking at Buffalo. Buffalo sits on the lake. It is a lake effect, that the angle from east to west, whatever, just being a weather nerd, Buffalo, Syracuse, Oswego, New York, all those towns just get freaking hammered, when those snow bands set up. And I wanted to make sure nothing like that was going to happen. When I heard on the Weather Channel somebody say something about, oh yeah, Buffalo might snow this weekend, I went, oh shit. And they were, the forecasters were talking of snow, you know, lake effect snow bands setting up. And those things wobble north and, you know, some gets clobbered and 10 miles south, you get nothing. If it sets up over the stadium, it's a problem. Because as you know, being in New York, you probably hear about it all the time.
Yeah, we know.
If it's going to dump a freaking foot on you in 2 hours, that's going to be a problem. If they have to get the shovels out and shovel the lines on the field off so that they can continue to see the field, that's going to be a problem. That's going to fuck the game up a little bit, don't you think?
For sure. What we have to do is just wait until closer to the game with something like that. You just can't predict. The way I would go into analyzing this game is let's assume there's no snow and that it's just a cold day in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And then if there's going to be snow, we'll know. We'll know in advance. Snow scares me even more when – like I kind of missed this last week with Green Bay, but like – When somebody on the team has like some sort of leg injury that would be affected by being slippery, so like when
oh sure like a knee,
well Rodgers last week was hobbled like with some sort of a knee issue, and then with that you add that to the snow and it's really hard if you have like an ankle or a knee.
Yeah, you got to plant.
To function on the snow. Yeah, I mean, you got to plant and cut anyway, but it's slippy and it's just it's not as good in the snow. So let's jump into this game because there is some excitement here.
No, and I'm with you there. Absolutely. I mean, you've got the Killer Bees. You know the home away splits, all that kind of stuff. I would expect it to be more of a Le'Veon game than an air game. And on the other side, I really like Shady McCoy. I'll let you talk though because people already read my opinion.
Yeah, oh, for sure. So, I mean, looking at this game, the first thing is let's look at the line. You got a 47.5-point total, Pittsburgh favored by 1.5. So, close game, road team is favored by a little bit. That's the kind of line we look for. I mean, that's a good line. You know, so the Vegas is saying, play this. You know, we'll start there. Vegas is saying, play this game. It's going to be close. You know, the home teams don't quit. And quitting is going to be a big theme for the next few weeks, so I'm going to talk more about that as we go on, but not for this game. So home teams don't quit. Obviously, Pittsburgh, Le'Veon Bell seems like the top play here. I mean, defensively, the Bills are a little bit better. Let's see, they're passing. Defensively, I believe the Bills are a little bit better versus the pass, but they're not a scary defense in basically any stretch of the imagination here. Let's see, the Bills are – there we go, 22nd, 21st, 24th. There's nothing scary about this defense at mm-hmm. this point. As a Jets fan, I know that, you know, Rex Ryan defenses can be particularly vulnerable to pass-catching running backs and certainly to the tight end position. So certainly Le'Veon Bell is the top play here. Antonio Brown, use him as always. Last week, Ladarius Green had the big week, obviously came getting more and more snaps in the offense, something I wasn't necessarily on at all. Bummer.
I will say this for people that are listening. Keith did point that out on the VIP pod. That was a good call.
Yeah, Keith definitely called that. I was kind of like, what? But GPP, I believe I said GPP, only play for that one. It was not something I was going to use in cash.
I don't think you could, but I mean, I do think it was a great
whatever. GPP. It worked out really well. So that was awesome. Yes, it did. Good Absolutely. Call. That's why we have a lot of opinions and a lot of different – that's why I say, hey, you know, listen to the opinion, and if it makes sense to you, play it. So that worked. So from that point of view, anybody on the Steelers is a good play. Play Ben. People have been asking me odd questions this week, like, should I play Ben Roethlisberger or – and then they'll name some really shitty quarterback like – Colin Kaepernick this week. I'm like, why is this a question? Like, what are people thinking? So anyway, yeah, play Ben. Seriously. And then you know, for Buffalo, there's some interesting stuff here too. I like a home dog. Steelers are getting better defensively every week, but Sammy Watkins, not a bad week last week. You know, played quite a few snaps. Certainly McCoy is an every week possibility. So yeah. I don't mind stacking up this game. A little bit of Ben, Brown, Bell, Ladarius, Watkins, McCoy, you know, any combo of those players. Any combo of those players can work. Buffalo doesn't have, I believe, their tight end has been out. And so they don't really have a lot of options to throw to, which is why I like it when my wide receiver – I know people say this isn't a good thing, but I like it when my wide receiver for my team is the only game in town. There's another player like that that I like.
C1 Mike Evans.
Yeah, well, I was going to say there's another player like that that I like very much this week as my all-in wide receiver play. But I like that, so why not? This is a good game to target for sure.
All right, cool. I'll tell you what, before we move on to San Diego and Carolina, I forgot to mention this in the beginning. Guys, you can follow a lot of our coaches. If you look in the article, I put our Twitter handles in there. Follow us on Twitter. We talk back and forth there. We retweet our content. At Football Geek, or F Football Geek, is Kevin, and I'm at Chapo Dong. And we've got a host of other coaches you can find in listening to the other podcasts too. So moving on, San Diego at Carolina. Carolina is a three-point favorite. This one's a higher total, 49 points.
It's almost a chalk alert.
Almost, but it's one of those weird things that when I look at these things and I don't see obvious DVP matchups, they kind of make me a little skittish. So again, I'm the Tyrell Inmans, these guys, great. Antonio Gates, never a bad bet for a touchdown. You know, I know you're going to probably like Gordon and some of that stuff. I don't like Carolina anymore, other than honestly, I figured a flyer on Ted Ginn Jr. is not bad. So I'd be interested to see what you have to say about this stuff too.
Yeah, I say I like that you don't like Carolina anymore. I like that because you like the chalk. So here's what I'm thinking. 49 point total, second highest total of the slate. San Diego, not a special defense by any stretch. Carolina at home, projected to score a ton of points. No one's going to be on this game because I'm sick of Cam's disappointing. Cam's, you know, jerk. He showed up late. He wears weird suits. Screw that. Cam Newton's Cam Newton. He's going to have his big games. And you're right about Teddy Ginn. He's been very, very solid for the past few weeks. Super cheap. You need cheap options, particularly on DraftKings this week.
That's why I like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's the punt play.
Super
that's great.
Super cheap.
But I love Cam here, too. I mean, Cam, they kind of – DraftKings is like super dick. They just mess with the fucking salary algorithm like crazy. But you know, like, they put Cam as the second most expensive guy. Like, what are they doing? How many bad leases does this guy have before I can get him at a bargain? So, I mean, that kind of sucks. But
that
but
tells you they like him.
But he's not – well, there it is. But he's not super expensive on FanDuel. He is a relative bargain, even on DraftKings, at the most expensive. This is Cam freaking Newton. He's good. He's going to run. He's going to score points. This is going to be a high-scoring game. San Diego's going to do some I love both sides of this game. Newton, Greg Olsen is super cheap. Like, they made up for Newton's expensiveness with Olsen being cheap, which is
yeah. Cool. He did. He yeah. tumbled. I will
for
tell
no
you
reason.
This,
by the way, for no reason. He just hasn't had good games. But his bad play has coincided with just Cam Newton's shitty play. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he's had a lot of shitty games in a row. It was scary.
I just see at that price with Cam, he needs to be Cam of last year, and I'm just not seeing it. So that's why I'm off of him. That's probably why everybody else is off of him too.
Yeah,
we're point chasing pieces of shit. What can I say?
That's right, and I like it. You know, if all we did was go to the players that like everybody's sick of it that week of in daily fantasy, we'd probably be all right. In certain sense, obviously this is a GPP play because we're talking ownership numbers. There are some better situations. I have my favorite cash play, and it's not this. So
sweet. Well, so I can't wait to get to it.
Yeah, I've already made cash lineups. Like, the first one is always my best one, and I also made a lineup on Fantasy Draft, which we'll talk about on the VIP pod.
Awesome. I did too.
Yes, I did.
I actually really like it. I don't know if you will or not, but I really like that lineup this week that I made on Fantasy Draft. So
I just slapped mine together in like 2 seconds right before.
Yeah, it'll probably kick mine's ass, but whatever.
I already have a player in there putting up over 20 points, a burn. So I'm looking good.
That's awesome.
Where was I? Oh, yeah. So this game. So, yeah, I mean, do I know Kelvin Benjamin? Kelvin Benjamin's probably the hardest guy to play. And unless he's a really relative bargain, I'm certainly not playing him in cash, but I could see playing Olsen in the cash game. Jonathan Stewart is back in relevance here. Why not? He's at home. You know, maybe he'll do some damage. I never like Jonathan Stewart's another classic GPP-only guy for me. I never would play him in cash because he's so volatile from week to week. But, you know, why not? And on the flip side –
Cam vultures him. That's what kills me about him. I'd love him otherwise.
But then every once in a while, he has that GPP 2-touchdown game. So you never know.
It's a goal line back. He's a damn goal line back. And his quarterback vultures him.
It's very annoying. It's very annoying. A guy that doesn't get receptions. He's not my kind of player. I will play Stewart almost none. But I'm just saying he's playable. He's not my kind of guy. On the flip side, Philip Rivers, why not? Carolina better against the rush. They have Kuechly back, who is, you know, he's all the heart for this defense. So, you know, I'm not expecting a lot of running yards from Melvin Gordon, but Melvin Gordon does so much in the passing game. He is matchup proof, and you know,
he has a nose for the end zone.
He could do it either way. He's doing it like, you know, he's a combo of Melvin Gordon and Danny Woodhead. You know, so when the Danny Woodhead games, he gets those. So he does well no matter what.
He's funny. He's definitely a breakout star this year. He is so perplexing to me, and so is Latavius Murray, who, by the way, scored a damn touchdown tonight again. Like, where are these guys? They don't, you know, the spotlight doesn't shine super bright on them. They always fly under the radar, but son of a bitch, they always get in the end zone, it feels like, every week. It's hard to nail them.
Yeah, I mean, just play them. Just play these guys. Tyrell the Gazelle is the preferred wide receiver for San Diego. I love him this week. Just love him. I mean, I don't. The other guys is very tricky on that team, but Tyrell, Rivers, Gordon, not my top play. You know, it's not a great matchup for him. There are other plays for the price that I probably like more. It's going to be hard to afford stud running backs or these mediocre level, like. You probably want to pay up for Zeke Elliott or Le'Veon Bell, or I don't even think you can pay up for David Johnson this week. That salary is ridiculous. it's ridiculous. Never seen this. David Johnson needs to bring 40 points. Not that he can't. He can. But, like, wow, that's his ceiling. And he needs – it's crazy. That looks good. But Tyrell the Gazelle, he's the man. Every single week, he just gets a lot of catches.
I laugh because I have Shady McCoy and David Johnson in my main slate lineup already.
Is that
excited.
DraftKings or on FanDuel?
No, it's on FanDuel, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. DraftKings. I'm referring to DraftKings pricing when I say that. FanDuel, right. Everybody is affordable. That's why I like FanDuel better for the last few weeks. Had more success there. I don't like being forced to make choices between two or three different $3,000 to $3,500 right. level players on my team. That's just not the way I like to play. It really hasn't been cool what DraftKings has done with these salaries. So, you know, FanDuel's been way more fun for me because I can mix and match in some studs in my lineups, which I like to do.
Gotcha.
All right, so I think that's it, but that's a game to target. Be involved with this game.
Not any of those high total games, they should at least raise your brow. I mean, I look at them and I'll talk myself off of them a little bit. But no, you can't go wrong with trusting Vegas ever. Cincinnati at Cleveland. Cincinnati's 4-point favorite. Total on this one's a kind of a middling 44. Not the most exciting game in the world. I know you like Jeremy Hill, so when you sell me on him and get me to change my mind, I'll just let you know that I saw that Rex Burkhead had got 8 carries, and it bugged me a little bit. And I know Jeremy Hill's not a pass catcher. And Andy Dalton threw the ball to 9 different receivers. And I know Cleveland sucks against the run and the pass and everywhere else, but I just didn't see the spread being big enough to really push me on to Jeremy Hill bringing the thunder this week. He might have a good game. I just don't expect him to have a massive game.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, Hill had 23 carries last week, 3 targets in the passing game, 6 targets the week before. This is a guy who we want to – he's at Cleveland. Just for the sheer volume and for the sheer fact that we need some salary relief, yeah, I love Hill this week. He's one of my – probably my favorite play for saving salary. Now, again, DraftKings pulled a kind of a dick move, jacked up his salary like crazy, which was not cool. But on FanDuel, he's a great bargain. Even on DraftKings, he's still relatively well-priced. But just like, you know, Hill's going to be involved. He's their number one guy. And Cleveland cannot stop the run. So I expect Hill – I see Hill having 2 touchdown upside in this game. He is that salary relief that you're going to need to pay off for some other players. I mean, there's a couple guys I like also, like Tyler Eifert. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime A.J. Green is out of the game, Eifert is more of it's going to be a red zone factor. I mean, LaFell, I guess, if you want to punt at wide receiver. So there's a few different plays in this game. Even on the flip side, I mean, the Browns are starting RG3 here. Now, I don't know what that means. He kind of sucks.
It means they're desperate.
It doesn't mean that much. I mean, no, that, yeah, what else are they going to do? But I'm not sure if that's better or worse for Terrell Pryor, but I like Terrell Pryor also. I mean, he's a reasonably priced kind of number one target on DraftKings anyway. And so, yeah, I like Terrell Pryor. I don't like him on they jacked up his price too. Not cool. Not cool, guys. I don't know why that happens. But anyway, I mean – Terrell Pryor had a nice game last week. He just puts up numbers every single week. They work to get this guy involved. So, I mean, the TPS report, got to get down with that. Even Troy Bolton, I mean, he's got a great voice.
You got to get your head in the game.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know the songs?
I know the songs because we had them in the 6-disc changer in the first minivan we bought. That's how long ago High School Musical was popular.
Just so people know, the joke here is that Chop wrote, instead of writing Boyd player, he writes Troy Bolton, who is the character from High School Musical. So. That's great.
I got kids, man. I got kids. I got little kids. We sat there and we watched the live shit. And what are you gonna do?
My daughter. I
can quote Cars from front to back. Finding Nemo, dude. I got them all.
Oh my gosh.
You gotta have. That's what happens when you have kids.
You want to hear something interesting? And I want to. I'm kind of checking this. our projections really like Isaiah the Crow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why does it like a Crowell? I don't, well, I mean, I'm confused by this. I mentioned it this week because last week I said here on the show how much our projection loved Jordan Howard. I was like, I'm not so sure about Jordan Howard.
But I could see where Jordan Howard was going to go off. He was playing San Francisco.
I got that. I totally got that. But we mentioned
it here. I didn't see three touchdowns, but I mean, I saw it.
Yeah, but I mean, nonetheless, it was something we discussed. Our projections really love Jordan Howard. It's a little surprising to me. I got that it was a great matchup at home, but Howard hadn't been really, you know, getting workhorse type touches. I'm just going to look at Duke Johnson here real quick. I mean, last week he got five touches. He got a bunch of targets last week. He's still being involved, so it's not like they're going exclusively the Crow.
That's where me and Scotty were looking to go because, you know, Cleveland's figuring to play catch up again, so. We kind of thought that Duke Johnson might be not sneaky. He's kind of lightly used, but if he's going to get more work for his price, it would be
now. His next big game will be first in a while. I mean, he has not had.
Oh, yeah. He's been off my radar for weeks.
He has not had a special season, and he hasn't really had outside of one game against the Jets, which I believe was more of a single. He just got a ton of targets in that game. Oh, well, the Jets are that defense that funnels. Like, you're going to use Duke Johnson against the Jets because you can't run on them. So at least then when they still were trying, you couldn't run on them. So, you know, outside of that, he hasn't had a good game. So I'm not sure about him. But our projections do like Isaiah Crowell. And, you know, for whatever that's worth, you take it, go with it, don't go with it. You know, I'm just the messenger on that one.
Wow. Anything else from that game?
No, I mean, I could see. I don't know if anybody wants to take a shot with RG3. But, I mean, if you want a guy at low ownership, I guess he's not somebody I'm going to use.
He'll be low owned, but you won't be alone in taking that shot on him. There'll be other people doing it too. He's not going to be 5, 10% owned. But, I mean, you're not going to be at like 0.4. There's going to be people out there that are just excited to play the dude.
Yeah,
I think people get like that in those big GPPs. They think they're being super sneaky by taking the, you know, the former chalk. But anyway, move on.
Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
Chicago at Detroit. This game has some sneaky sex appeal for a 44-point total. The more I look at it, anyway, it sets up well with Detroit being a 7-point favorite at home.
Technically, Detroit is projected to score a lot of points.
That's my other typo. When I wrote this up, I was, for whatever reason, had it in my head that it was in Chicago. And so I'm thinking, again, cold, wind, outdoors, you know, division game, crap on a stick kind of thing. Now, I mentioned Howard as like something that has very little merit to it this week because I don't see them using him from behind, but he's really about the only dude they got with, you know, Barkley and then the freaking trifecta of goofy receivers that are all gimpy and hurt and who the hell knows who he's going to throw to or if he even can. You've got the resurgence of the Detroit defense. When you see that kind of a spread at home, and I mean, Detroit is looking like they've figured something out on defense. And we had a guy break down in Slack that, you know, three safety thing that they're trying, and he made a lot of sense. And I was already on them. Anyway, are you as high on Detroit as a defense this week as I am?
I mean, I'm literally rolling out Detroit defense in two of my season-long leagues
in the
playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I am on them hard.
So, I mean, obviously they were available, which helped. But
I guess it
didn't help that much. I sat KC defense to play them, so whoops. But I have Tyreek Hill in that game too, so I'm doing okay. But nonetheless, yeah, I like Detroit this week. They're at home. Chicago sucks. They've quit. This is not a game to play anybody from Chicago. They're on the road. Road teams quit. Late in the season, terrible teams on the road just give up. We saw it last week with San Francisco at Chicago. They quit. This is what happens later in the season. These teams go on the road. They quit. So you can't play Chicago, anybody. For Detroit, sure. I mean, the one guy I'm not touching is Riddick. He's got elbow problems. He's got shoulder problems. He's got ankle problems. Screw that shit. Not playing him. I don't care. He's got too many injuries. too many question marks, but I mean, Tate, Golden Tate, I love. You gotta like Tate because it seems like MJJ is hurt, and when he is, they just went to Tate. Last week, I was very heavily owning Golden Tate. My Stafford stacks had Tate in them. That worked really well because as soon as MJJ was out, I put out a thing. I didn't even know if MJJ was going to be out. That's the thing. If you hear a guy is questionable, game time decision, even if they play, they're just going to be hobbled out there. So don't play them. Don't leave it like this thing where I don't know what to do. As soon as that's the thing, just say, fuck it. I'm not using this guy, and I'm using the other guy on that team. Now,
well, and don't get cute. Don't get cute and think, oh, everybody's going to jump off of him, and he'll be low-owned, so I'm going to get on him in a tournament.
Mm-mm. No, don't do that. No, that is not cute. We don't want to play injured players. Yes, here's what the thing is going to be. Once out of seven times, that injured player is going to come in, he's going to have a great game. And it's really like that. It's those kind of numbers. Once out of ten. And you're going to remember it. You'd be like, fuck, I thought I couldn't. Geek said I couldn't play injured guys, that I shouldn't do that. You fuck that shit. I'm going to do it next time. I'm not going to listen. No, what's going to happen is the other nine times it's going to happen, you're going to get screwed.
Yep.
And it, one time it will work against you. That's right. But I go in accepting that. That's fine. And I've accepted and made a mental sort of thing where I say, you know what? I don't play people who are game time decisions, no matter what the decision is at game time. My assumption is if they don't know on Sunday morning that they can play, then Sunday afternoon they're going to stretch it out. Even if they're playing, there's a good chance they're going to come out of that game. They're going to get hurt mid-game. They're going to go out as a decoy.
Yep.
Fuck that.
You know, don't if we play got those guys. We have another coach in the Army, Private Aaron, who cracks me up. He and I talk poker quite a bit, and every time I sit around my church buddies or whatever, they always tell me, don't play pocket aces. You know, kind of limp into the pot with them. Don't play them too aggressively because they always lose. I'm like, that's what you're talking about right now. Is you're going to remember the time that you had pocket aces and you got screwed, and you're going to always change the way you play aces. I'm sorry, aces are still the best poker hand you can have. This is the same reverse idea.
People actually say don't play pocket aces.
They don't mean like fold them. They mean don't play them hard. Wait and see what the flop brings out, and then get aggressive. No, fuck you. I'm playing these things pre-flop hard every single time I get them because they're the best goddamn hand in poker. And I'm going to win money with them long term, period, end of story. And this is the same way when people are talking about these injuries, and that's the analogy that I'm drawing, is you're talking about these game time decisions. And that one time they said don't play him, and I did, and I did, and he went off, and damn, I need to play him. Because you're going to remember the one time.
I literally, to this day, remember a game when Brandon Marshall was playing for Chicago. It was out on the West Coast. And he was all – he had an ankle. He was a mess. And, like, you're like, this guy ain't playing. He comes out and limping around. Does not have a lot of yardage in hindsight, but caught three touchdown passes. Mm-hmm. And that was that one where everyone was like, yeah, screw this shit.
Yep.
Freaking, I'm going to play these injured guys. You know what? That was, like, 4 years ago. And so – but I still remember it. It's like the one time that it doesn't work, it stands out in your head. And don't be fooled by that.
And it can change the way you play, and you can't let it because it's just not right.
No, I've made it a policy. I have made it a policy. If you're a game time decision, I'm not playing you.
There you go.
The MJJ I did last week. I told everybody early. It wasn't even – we didn't have to wait until game time. I said, guys, don't touch MJJ this week. Don't touch Marvin Jones Jr. This game time decision bullshit, forget him. Play Tate instead. He's going to be the guy. And that's how you had to play it. If you didn't play it that way and you said, well, Tate ended up being inactive, so it didn't matter. But even if Tate plays, Marvin Jones Jr. plays, I don't play him. He was a game time decision. If he wasn't practicing, he didn't know he could play, screw that shit. And anytime that situation comes up, I will do the same damn thing. And you're going to make more money over time if you do stuff like that.
There you go.
And don't try to be cute. That is not the place to get cute.
There you go.
But that's it for this one. Rant off. Next game.
Next game, Houston at Indianapolis, 4.5-point Indianapolis favorite at home, 46.5-point game total. I broke down the implied points in this one for people just for kicks because I like looking at them. I like offenses scheduled to score 25 points and you know, or more. Indy's fitting that bill. And like you said, Houston, they're traveling. There's a little bit of an outside chance in this division, but I think they're more likely to give up here too. I am not a big fan of anybody on Houston, I can tell you that.
Definitely not a – I mean, there are playable players on Houston this week. I mean, we have to look at Lamar Miller.
Yeah, I kind of –
can't stop the run. It's hard to want to play him. He is cheap on DraftKings. He's one of those bargains that you can potentially – and not so much on FanDuel. Again, on FanDuel, you don't need to take shots but like that. But on DraftKings, you know, it's going to be hard to play him. It's not a cash play for me.
My thing is, I'm not taking him over Shady, Bell,
no, but he's so much
David
cheaper.
Johnson, those types. Sure, I get that, but
he's
just...
He's 5,100, so we're really making a decision between Jeremy Hill, who's 5,800, and Lamar Miller, who's 51, facing a Colts defense that, while they shut down the Jets and their pathetic offense last week, are playing on a short week, ranked pretty much last against the run. Last. They're one better than San Francisco by DVOA. So you have to – the only thing that concerns me about Lamar Miller here is the fact that he's been questionable for like a month. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but he keeps playing, but he's clearly not 100%. But let's look at some of the stats here on Miller. What's he done last week in a horrible losing effort, 14 touches. Week before, 19 touches, four targets. Week before, 24 touches. Three targets, sometimes 15, 17 touches. So, I mean, the guy gets a lot of opportunities. There's no one else really on the team taking touches. Alfred Blue? No, I mean, he was hurt last. I don't think. Is he playing week 13? I guess he's playing a little bit, but he sucks. Jonathan Grimes? I guess he gets a few touches too. But, I mean, Miller's the guy. He's playable here on DraftKings, especially super cheap, 5,000, 5,100. Nobody's going to be on him, low ownership numbers. So, yeah, it's not the best game, but, I mean, that matchup is very good for him. I'm not a believer in Brock Osweiler. He hasn't done anything all year, but Vontae Davis should play in this game. So he's going to be on DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, there are some super crazy GPP plays with, like, a Will Fuller or whatever. But I'm not going to do that. But I do like – I don't mind Miller and C.J. Fedorowicz in play.
Hell that name is.
Yeah, I mean Fedorowicz. A Colts defense ranked – let me get the tight end numbers. I mean
– oh, it's not good.
No. It's really bad. Like they're 32nd versus the tight end position. 41% increase.
For those that don't know, there's 32 teams in the league. That is last.
Yeah, they're last. So, I mean, this is the kind of team that you want to target tight ends against. Why not play Fedorowicz? We need some salary savings on DraftKings especially. Again, I keep saying that, but we really do. We need salary savings on DraftKings. Fedorowicz, he's not a super exciting player, but he's done okay. You know, he's had okay weeks. He's averaging 9.5 points a game, 10 points last week, 9 points the week before, 14 points. He's 4,000, 4,812. We need 12 out of him to bring cash value, 16 for tournament value. Now, he's not going to get you 16 points very often, but he'll get close to there a couple times. He's passed that number once this season, been really close two or three other times. So, you know, yeah, Fedorowicz, baby. It's a good matchup for him. Why not?
Where are you going on the Indianapolis side?
Colts side, I mean, T.Y. Hilton is my dude. So outside of Hilton – and I like Hilton in this game, even though Houston has a good defense, blah, blah, blah. Hilton has torched Houston over his career. You know, outside of T.Y., you can run on the Texans. They're liable to quit. So Frank Gore is, again, not a guy I like to play a lot, but he is playable here. Anybody on the Colts offense is usable. The Houston defense has been steadily declining week after week. They're now 14th and 17th overall, DVOA, so they've been really on the decline.
And that's where you get tricked by the numbers when you look at something at first glance and then go back after writing it and look at a little bit more in detail. because I in the write-up, I was not very high on a lot of these guys and figured they could be squelched a little bit. And that was one thing I wanted to make the point out in the podcast tonight to point out was T.Y. and those and Andrew Luck. I was a little down on those guys. I didn't even mention T.Y., but they're actually not in bad spots. They're very, very usable. And I led on that they really weren't. And that's a correction that has to be done because as I've dug in a little bit more and I've looked at the a little bit deeper than just on the surface, I've changed my mind. So.
Yeah, it's a high projection. There's no reason. I mean, the only thing going against this game is like, you know, division rivalry stuff. But, you know, Luck looked great last week. They're on the rise. He's getting healthier. This Colts offense, they still have something to play for. They're still trying to make the playoffs. Houston still has something to play for too, but they won't make the playoffs. They suck. And so, you know, it's going to be a thing where I like the home team here very much, but I like it to be a competitive game. And I know you wrote some GPP plays here, but these guys are playable straight up.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. And Dwayne Allen.
I don't think Lamar Miller is, but I think that Andrew Luck is. I think T.Y. Hilton is. I think Frank Gore is. Dwayne Allen and Lamar Miller would stay in the GPP play for me.
Yeah. I mean, Dwayne Allen is like chasing points. What the hell, by the way?
Who was
on that? Like, I mean, on the
two games. Did you realize Jack Doyle still out-snapped him?
Did he?
Yes.
You know, I can't figure that stuff out. I'm not chasing those points. I mean, if you need to play, Allen would only show up in like a crazy. Doyle hasn't had a good week in a while.
Jack Doyle outsnapped him, and Jack Doyle ran the same number of pass patterns.
Regardless,
Dwayne Allen, he got zero touchdowns, and freaking Dwayne Allen found himself in there three times. How does that happen?
Jack Doyle has not had a big week or even a quality week.
Not for a while
since Dwayne Allen came back. Fuck Jack Doyle.
I agree. I was just pointing out that those three touchdowns to Dwayne Allen could have very easily gone either way because
tight ends are both very sketchy.
They were both on the field the same. So
a guy like Allen is so – it's so high variance, touchdown dependent.
You never get a two-game slate though.
He did win the two-game slate, but if you're doing the two-game slate, you have shares of him. Mm-hmm. Like he only got four targets and three touchdowns. It's not like he caught four receptions for three touchdowns.
That's Gronk efficiency.
I mean, yeah, that's very efficient. It's great, but he's not going to repeat that.
Oh, no.
Frequently. I mean, he's still only 2,600 on DraftKings. Let's see done. I mean, he's had a couple games of six targets, and then he'll have two and two and one. So this isn't a special guy.
He's a GPP dart throw.
Yeah.
And you're lucky to hit the board with him. But, you know, hell, you hit the bullseye with him last week, so what do I know? As far as that game, I mean, you've pretty much talked that one out. I think we can probably speed up on this next one. Minnesota at Jacksonville. Minnesota being a 3-point favorite, the total's a freaking 40.
Jacksonville surprisingly not bad on defense this year, as terrible as their coaching staff is.
I'm not touching anyone from this game.
No. Offensively, you're not really want to go crazy. Actually, the play here is Minnesota defense. If they were at home, I would feel a lot better about them.
Absolutely.
On the road, a team kind of ready maybe to quit. I don't know. Are their playoff hopes finished?
Who's? Minnesota's?
Yeah. Do they still have a shot? Are they still have a chance?
I don't know.
How
different 4 weeks have changed things?
They had to win last week. That game going against them. Part of the reason I said in Slack last week, I was like, listen. Everybody thought Minnesota that they were going to get their asses handed to them last week.
Yeah, they're two games behind Detroit.
Yeah, they still have a shot, so I think they're still going to play. They're not going to quit yet. But again, everybody in last week's game said, "Oh, this is not a good spot for Dallas is coming in. Dallas is an ass kicking team. They're going to crush these guys." And I came out in Slack and I said, "Guys, listen, the Vikings are going to play this game tough." They are not quitting here. This is their season aligned. They're 7-6. You know, you kind of go 7-7 and you're screwed. Or what was it, 6-7?
They're only about a half a game they're a game out of the wild card maybe. So they've still got something.
They have a shot, but they needed that win last week. That was a huge game. They were going to kind of fall out of this contention area that they were in, and we knew it. So I thought they were going to play tough at home. And they did. They played tough at home. They came out. They're fired up. The problem was they blew it. Their offense just isn't that good. So they're just not that good on offense, and they blow it.
This is one of those that if shit comes out of this game, great, good for you for picking it. I won't be anywhere near the game on any of it.
The reason to stay away is, listen, a 40-point total game, there ain't going to be a whole lot of goodness coming out of this thing. I'm certainly, you know, like Allen Robinson at this point is priced at scrub levels, and you can't even play him. That's crazy.
That's but it is what it is.
I'm sitting Blake Bortles in my season-long league for Alex Smith, which is working this week, by the way, in the playoffs. But nonetheless, that is what I did. So that gives you an idea of how much I thought of.
Yeah, who'd have thought that? You know. The game with a little bit more intrigue is Arizona at Miami. Miami, 2.5-point favorite. 44-point total. And I say a little more intriguing in that I'd love David Johnson everywhere, every time. I'd pay $10,000 for the guy because he brings 23, 24 points on FanDuel just about every week, and he's got 35 to 37-point upside and tests it, I don't know, about 40% of the time, it seems. So I like the guy. I wonder how much he has shifted the mindset in
Arizona. Can we talk about the mean old meanies on DraftKings? That jacked up David Johnson's price to 9,800.
I was going to say it costs like $23,000 over there.
9,800 DraftKings. Now you have – understand, the entire salary cap on DraftKings is 50,000. So this guy is a full
– Yeah, he's 20%.
Full 20% of your salary cap, a full 20%. In order to make GPP value, he's got to bring four times salary. So he really has to score 40 points,
38.
Very close to 40. Like, that's asking a lot. I mean, he needs to
– he's got to run for 100. He's got to catch five or six balls for 60, and he's got to get in three times.
The thing about this dude is, like, he puts up 38 points. He doesn't pass the number, but he puts up 38 points every once in a while. Like, he can do it. So he can do it. He can't pass it. He's not getting you 50. But, I mean, he can get that 40.
Same thing we were talking about a few weeks ago when Antonio Brown was 10K.
It's bananas.
It's the same thing. It's like he can maybe get there, but it takes a perfect week to get there.
Yeah, you're betting on him.
He ain't getting much past it. He hasn't hit 5X.
Now, the nice thing about David Johnson is he's money every single week. But this is what, you know, like, he's a cash play. You could play him in cash because you only need three. And you know what? Screw it. He's going to get you 25 plus points, especially at Miami. Miami's not that special on defense.
That's why I like him.
You know, nothing good. So, yeah, he's great. If you could fit him in a lineup, that's awesome.
That's why I like him.
Hard to like a lot else on the Arizona offense. I mean, obviously, Larry Fitzgerald's been fine. That's great. Nothing spectacular recently. He hasn't been putting up the big numbers, mainly because David Johnson's been sucking up all the scoring.
That's my point.
But, you know, Fitzgerald is a target machine, and he's playable. Outside of him, not a whole lot to like on the Arizona. If I was forced to choose another player, I guess it's Mike Floyd. But what we've discovered is Floyd kind of sucks. He sucks. Drops passes.
I like how you just matter-of-factly slide in. Hey, he just kind of sucks.
He does. He drops passes all the time. Like, dude, you're having your opportunity, and you're blowing it. I can catch that pass. I can catch that. I'm not that good.
What do you think about Jay Ajayi on the other side? I've heard people that like him. I don't.
I'm not a big let's target players against Arizona, the number one defense in the league kind of guy. That's not my thing. But, you know, Ajayi, sure. I mean, could he have a good game? Of course. Of course. GPP only if you need to play him. But, I mean, obviously Arizona is the top defense versus running backs in the league. Let me just check their DVOA to make sure
it
coincides with their other numbers.
Sometimes they don't. You're a big DVOA. I'm not. I'm more of a DVP guy, and I know those don't tell the whole story. I just don't look as deeply as you do, as a lot of you guys do in the DVOA stuff. So
I mean, they're not as good. According to DVOA, they're 11th. Let's look at the handy-dandy DFS Army cheat sheet here.
Which, for people that don't understand, all that is an adjusted number that takes out – you know, the matchups, or it takes out the God, why am I blanking on this? It really levels the playing field. It takes away a lot of the kind of the luck factors that the numbers can point out to you and really tells you supposedly the true story.
Yeah, I was going to say supposedly. But, you know, none of these measures are perfect or foolproof.
Was it offense adjusted? I think that's what it means. But
yeah, it adjusts for, like, whatever. How many more points over average a player is going to put up. Let's see. Miami, what was I looking for? DVP number, fantasy points, DVP. So, like, DVP is more of, like, how many fantasy points does the team
DVP
give up
is just
positions?
Straight up how many points does this team give up to that position.
And Arizona versus a running back.
And I love it when they rank them. Instead of giving me numbers, they've given up 138.7 points to the running back. I don't give a shit.
No, Arizona versus running back, number two overall, versus wide receivers, number one overall. So they're basically limiting running backs to some of the lowest scoring possible. Right.
Which that's when J.H.I. bust onto the scene was against a very tough matchup when nobody had him. And all of a sudden, dude went for like 200-something yards, and everybody was like, oh, my God. But I just don't like betting on that because it's such a freaking long shot. It's like pulling that 45-1 guy out at the Kentucky Derby and slapping $100 on him. I just would rather light the $100 on fire and watch it burn.
There it is. So, you know, do with that what you will. I don't think J.H.I. is a good player.
If you want to take him, he will be contrarian, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Next one.
Yeah, Washington at Philadelphia. This is a real close one, a one-point spread for Washington. 47.5-point total. It's kind of up there, fourth, fifth highest total of the week. This one kind of has a little bit of shootout potential other than the fact that it's a rivalry and we don't really know. It could end up being some kind of a goofy game. But just on the surface, I'm not impressed with Philadelphia. You talk about a team that has given up. In my opinion, they have that game last week was a wreck. And they should be embarrassed of themselves. So automatically, I lean towards Washington in this game. I don't like Fat Rob, but boy, I like Cousins again. I think Crowder's the Eric Decker this year. I don't mind a couple of the other guys, but really and truly, if I was just to focus on two guys in this entire game, it would be a Cousins-Crowder stack, and I would just move on and pay up for other people because these guys are still relatively affordable.
Yeah, I mean, listen, is it a great matchup for Cousins on the road, division opponent?
No.
Good quality Philly defense. This is not a matchup that I'm excited for. I mean, Philly's been pretty good against at limiting opposing quarterbacks. Looks like number 11th overall, average 16 points. Wide receivers, okay, not as good. They've been better against running backs defensively. DVOA, Philly looks better than they do on the DVP numbers. So, I mean, Philly's good. I mean, they're a good defensive team. It's not like the kind of thing where you're dying to grab a player on the road. But Cousins has put up numbers every single week, regardless of the matchup.
Yep.
So, you know, there's that factor.
He's failed to get you on FanDuel two times his current salary, which what he's at, 7,500, so 15 points. He's failed to get you 14, 15 points. All year, he's only failed to get you that twice.
Yeah, no, he's solid.
That's pretty freaking contested. And he's hitting 3X, which is what we're looking for, about 30 to 40% of the time, which is actually pretty consistent to test his ceiling, too. So that's why I like him. Matchup independent.
For me, it's not a game I'm going to be heavily targeting this week. I'm a little, you know, the number's high. I like that the game is supposed to be close, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, number one, how the hell is Philly scoring in this game? Like, who are they throwing it to? Who are they giving it to?
You know, supposedly Ryan Matthews is going to suit up, and we know that if they get the ball inside the five, they're just going to hand it to him, and that's going to be the end of it.
No, they won't. Do not count on that. Do not count on that.
Going to give me a Zach Ertz?
No, they'll give it to Wendell Smallwood, Kenjon Varner, Mac Brown. The way that Philly plays, they're going to hand it to Sproles. These guys will not do what you expect. So do not count on Ryan Matthews getting any sort of – anything.
Well, they got to get them. My point was going
to
be
they might give it to Wendell Smallwood. Like I said,
they
you play this
game,
it's going
to
screw you. Yeah, well, they got to get there too. But I mean, like, I'm just saying, don't trust them in the running game.
Oh, I don't trust
know what the
damn
hell these guys are going to do. And there's too many guys there. They're not going to just shut down Wendell Smallwood. So do not play Ryan Matthews. I heard some people thinking Matthews was a sneaky
play
this week. Do not play Ryan Matthews this week.
I won't play.
Super dangerous.
I don't think they're going to get inside the red zone very much to give the guy opportunity.
But my other thought is there's no upside here. It's not worth taking the chance. Like, if you're right and you crushed it, like, and you want to stick it in my face on next week, I was right, dude. I got Matthews for 12 points. You know what? Good for you.
That's funny. The only other one that I would comment on is Jordan Matthews, and I think that dude is all floor and no ceiling. So moving on, because burning a pick.
When was his last good game?
This guy, Jordan Matthews, this is one thing that I got stuck on early in the season. was you'd pick guys because their floor is really high. And this isn't the perfect example, but you know, let's say he does have a really high floor, but he's got no ceiling and his floor isn't even all that high. But I would pick that guy and go, okay, well, he's a lock to get this many points. Well, yeah, but you know what he can't do? He can't bail out the other guy, the other receiver on my roster that shits the bed, because he has no upside. And that hurts you in cash just as much.
Conceptually, he should have had an upside early in the season. He just never did. And that's because whatever. I don't know why.
Wentz regressed. Philly's given up on their coach. All these reasons. Whatever. We don't need to spend a ton of time.
I don't know what their story is. But you definitely – going back to the Washington story. So, sure, Cousins, Crowder, I guess. I like – there is an extra storyline here, which is that little be known to many of us, Jordan Reed is saying he's going to play this week. If he does play, that does kind of remove
– makes Cousins Davis. Better.
It makes Cousins better. Philly's very good against tight ends. But it also takes away the Vernon Davis factor, which is unfortunate because Vernon's the guy I was probably going to play a little bit of this week. But I'm not going to play him if Reed is going to play. So we have to keep an eye on that situation. Not going to play Reed coming off the injury. He could get hurt again. It's just like I said with the other stuff. I don't care if he's – I need to give it a game. Especially against the number two overall tight end defense in the league.
It's not like you're taking a chance at him at 2,700 on DraftKings either.
Not with
– You're taking a $6,000 chance on him at least.
Yeah, it's not a cheap play. So it's right. 5,900, so screw that.
Good call for never looking at the prices. How about that?
Yeah, that was very close. That's right. All right, moving on.
That's
Denver
right.
Denver
at Tennessee. Tennessee, 1.5-point favorite. Game total here, 43.5 points. Paxton Lynch, can you please sit down?
I want to make the raspberry sound like that's what I feel about this game.
They need Simeon in a bad way. I'm not going to spend much time here. I would say this, that Denver defense is really, really good. Mariota has thrown some picks.
Is Simeon going to play? What is the story with this game? Do we know?
I don't know that we know yet. Until further notice, I'm treating it as a Paxton Lynch game, which honestly should mean that I should take those Sanders off the list. I should take all Denver players off the list. If Simeon played, I don't mind looking at game logs. I don't mind how they used Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders when Booker has sucked so bad.
Can we just remind people that Paxton Lynch was the guy that played at Jacksonville last week and put up a total of 5 fantasy points.
Yeah, he's awful. He's awful. You know what, though? Here's an intriguing thing I heard today come across the wire. I think it's Denver. Signed Justin Forsett.
Which basically is going to –
that tells you what they think about Booker.
Well, Capri Biggs also got hurt and he went to the IR. So they had to get a backup. I'm not going to let that bother me that much. Biggs is out. They needed a backup running back. They needed another guy.
I'm not playing Forsett, but I'm not playing Booker. It tells me to me and plus, the whole reasoning behind the story was that Kubiak and Forsett, that he knows the offense. He should plug and play, and they expect him to get some carries this week. Maybe not a lot.
My concern with Booker, more so, I don't think Forsett is actually going to challenge for touches. I don't. My concern with Booker is very simple. Is Denver going to score with Paxton Lynch at the helm?
They're not.
If they're not going to be able to move the ball, then as much as they want to hand it to Booker, and as much as the mediocrity of Tennessee's defense is a real thing. They're not good. They're terrible. They're bottom of the league, but Denver has a hard time moving the ball. That said, they do play a good defense. They turn it over, blah, blah, blah. Booker can actually have a good game. He's another cheap guy that's like more of a GPP salary saver on a DraftKings type situation. And, if I had him in my season long, I'd play him. I would play him. Depending on who, over Brandon LaFell, I would play him. I'd be like, oh, Brandon LaFell or Booker, I'm going to play Booker. Right? I just would. But, it's the problem is when teams can't score, their running backs can't score. No one scores. And this is a low total game. You don't want to play anybody from Tennessee here, even though they're at home, because this is Denver defense. They're really good. So I would say
Not even Delanie Walker, huh?
No. Mm. This is Denver defense. I wanted to play Delanie Walker. I played Delanie Walker every fucking week. Like, I've played Delanie Walker every single week this season. From week one, I play him every single week. Every time I'm looking for a tight end, I end up defaulting to Delanie Walker. And it's worked. And it's always low owned. And I'm always like, why don't people use this guy? It's so weird.
It's consistent. He's the focal point of this offense. So if it's anything's going to happen at all, that's where it's going to go.
Like, I don't even have a problem playing Delanie Walker here. I might play him. He's cheap. Like, DraftKings reduced his price. You know, like, sometimes they do their crazy working the system thing. Actually works in your favor. Who I'm not playing is DeMarco Murray. Fuck that shit. I'm not paying stud money to see Hunter Henry, whatever his name is, his freaking backup coming in, Henry Hunter.
Vulture. You're right. Yeah, I think it's not Hunter Henry, but it's
Derrick Henry. Yeah.
So that you're right. Henry Hunter's I would have thought it was the Hunter
I'm
part.
I'm not paying top dollar for a guy when his backup is priced at 5,600, like 5,200. Like, they're pricing the backup like a starter. And last week we saw this guy come in, week 12. I mean, these guys are coming off a bye. But week 12 we saw this guy come in, steal a touchdown, get 8 carries. That's a lot of carries. Now, mentally it doesn't seem like that much, but 2 weeks before, 9 carries. Like if you're comparing it to like 16 for DeMarco, and the other guy's getting – I mean, he's getting a lot of touches. And they're giving him the ball at the goal line. I just don't like it.
I like that you said 8 carries is a lot, because that's what scared me on the Rex Burkhead Jeremy Hill thing.
Yeah, but Hill had 23.
I hear you.
That's
I
different than when the starter gets 14 carries and the backup gets 8. Hill had 23 carries.
It was enough. It spooked me.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's so.
All right. I mean, that's fine. I like Hill. But again, I liked Hill before I saw his DraftKings salary, which is like way too high. It's ridiculous. So it's like, it pisses me off that they did that.
Well, watch him go for 2 scores and whatever else, and I look like the idiot, because that's just kind of how it rolls.
He can. I mean, Hill's also good, by the way. He's a talented player. So, I mean, there's that. Murray's awesome too, obviously, but Denver is Denver.
Murray's awesome. I love it.
But Denver is a very, very good defense. People say Denver's soft versus the run. That's bullshit. Denver's defense is good. You don't need to get too deep into it.
You said it earlier. If you look at 2 other guys on this slate, and we haven't touched on one yet, but Shady McCoy's 400 more. Like, I'm not reaching for that. I mean, come on. And Matt Forte's 200 less, and Matt Forte's out in San Francisco.
Yeah,
and we've seen what they do to San Francisco. So why would I ever play DeMarco Murray? I'm not. I don't mind. If you're going to attack Denver, I don't see the point in attacking Denver. I just wanted to bring it up in the article because somebody out there is going to say, why no DeMarco Murray? That's why.
Yeah. That's not a reason to put him in. But I hear what you're saying.
Anyway.
Next game.
You know what? What we need to do is we need to do some housekeeping. We need to take a little break here and come back here in a few seconds, get some people some information on joining the DFS Army. It's not too late. It's week 14. We're going to go through a couple of rounds of playoffs. And we've got NBA rolling, and we have just as many coaches doing just as many good things over in the NBA side of things. So let's take a little break. Let's get you some information on joining the DFS Army if you're interested, and we'll come right back. We'll start Sunday afternoon games.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on dfsarmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.
All right, there you go. Sunday afternoon. We're an hour in, Kevin. We probably got to pick up the pace. Sunday afternoon games, New York Jets at San Francisco. Well, here's the Matt Forte game right here. San Francisco's favored by a point. I don't know if that line has moved or not. But that seems odd. I know that New York or, you know, New Jersey with the Jets, whatever, going way out west. 46.5-point total, not too terrible. I love Matt Forte in this matchup, and I will hang my hat on running backs against San Francisco all freaking year long.
They have not been good against running backs. That's true. And you almost like they look so good against them. But the line has moved towards San Francisco in this game, and the total has gone down dramatically.
Okay, give it to me.
So it's now -2.5 to San Francisco. Jets, 43.5 points.
I guess because you guys have given up on your season?
The Jets have quit.
As if San Francisco has anything to play for?
They're at home, so the home team doesn't quit. The away team traveling cross-country with Bryce Petty at the helm, knowing that this is a done season, what they do.
It's making me feel so stubborn saying Matt Forte. I still like his spot. I hope they show up. I hope he plays. I hope he plays with heart.
It's a lot of hoping. That's a lot Maybe. Of hoping.
God, but I just know what San Francisco can give.
Yes, they can, but they're at home. They're going to play harder for their home crowd than they did. They quit last week. So remember what happens with Forte. If the Jets are losing, Forte will do nothing.
He scares me more than Jordan Howard did. So I'll give you that.
Because they're at home. I mean, Matt Forte only has a good game when the Jets win. They're not expected to win. So when you're playing him here, just know you're going against the grain. You're going against what Vegas is saying is going to happen. Contrarian. Vegas is usually right. So it's something to be aware of. Make sure that if you're going to do a contrarian kind of play, you know what you're doing. Because, again, Forte has not had a good game in a Jets loss. Not one. The guy I'm kind of looking at is like, shit, I have Carlos Hyde in a couple of my season-long teams. Should I play this guy? I'm not going to play him probably in DFS. Jets are a good defense when it comes to stopping running backs. I think I'm certainly not playing Colin Kaepernick. He is an absolute risk of being benched mid-game.
He's a train wreck.
Yeah, he can be benched.
But I see why he's in a bounce-back spot. If you've truly given up, he's favored. If Carlos Hyde isn't going to do a lot, Kaepernick's going to have to do something. I can see why people are going to – if he rushes for 60, 70 yards, which he typically does when he runs. But I do see the fear in he's going to get benched. If he doesn't do well, they're going to say we're trying to protect our quarterback. Yeah, we're going to sit him down.
By the way, do I expect that to happen? No. Is Kaepernick an interesting GPP play because people are all thinking, well, he got benched last week. He looks so bad. It's like maybe he's just the worst player in the world. Yeah, I mean, he's the worst person in the world.
Lay it out there.
He's not a good football player. But, I mean, you know, he runs and around and he scores fantasy points using his legs to run around. I'm not a fan. I just hate him so much. This is one of those times where and I mean, it's good. Like, last week I didn't play Kaepernick because I fucking hate him and I can't stand the guy and I can't root for him. So, you know, that kind of thing. So
here's what we see when we look at FanDuel, because I'm just not excited about DraftKings, if you can't tell. I'm pretty much a FanDuel guy now because of that. But – 7,300 is his price. He's about 15 points to bring cash value, about 2.2 points as a multiplier.
And if he does what he's been doing every single week, he's going to blow through that.
Okay, so yeah, he got, you know, freaking 2 points last week, whatever. But 34, 19, 24, 23, 15, 18. He's hit value every week except for last week. And in fact, with, you know, his ceiling, if it's 30 points, geez, that's 4X. I mean – That's legit. That's worth looking at to me.
He's worth a look. I'll give it that. GPP, I mean, only, you cannot trust this guy.
And I played him last week. It was the first week that I've ever played the guy. Burn. And sure, what do? I picked the week the sucker goes out and gets me 2 points. I mean,
oh my gosh, what a burn.
That lineup was dead, dude. It was dead from the start. The minute I saw him on the bench, I'm like, you better be hurt. And they're like, oh, I just sat him for whatever reason. I was like, oh, screw that. I'll never play the guy again. He's dead to me. So what are you going to do? But, you know, you try not to let that affect you too much. I look at the recent history. The numbers are there if he plays, if he doesn't piss his coach off or if he doesn't whatever. I mean, they can be there. I don't know. I can see why people are saying that he's worth a play.
I totally understand.
I don't think I'm going there because I'm certainly not going to set myself up for that shit twice in a row. And this will be the week he goes out and scores 35 fucking points and burns me again. But whatever. That's DFS.
That is the way of it. I guess if you talk about Colin Kaepernick, I suppose you could talk about Vance McDonald here, and you know the Jets really can't cover.
I can't trust anybody's throwing to. I really can't. I'm expecting him to do it all with his legs, get in for a score, you know, run for 60 or 80 yards, and hit his floor that way. And then whatever he throws is a cherry on the top. And that is like so not the way to talk about a quarterback that it's ridiculous. But I mean, with him, I think that's about all you can hang your hat on. And that's why I think even though he has hit his cash floor apparently every damn week except last week, I still think the guy carries a lot of risk.
I mean, your goal here is clearly to have this guy run around and run for a touchdown in 80 yards, and then anything else is a bonus. Remember, but the Jets are a terrible secondary. If you're ever going to have a good game throwing –
Well, you'd think.
I think I'm convincing myself, maybe.
Don't do it. Don't. You hate the guy. I'll talk you back off the ledge.
But I am convinced. I mean, if you want to make an argument, the Jets can't cover the deep ball. And the one thing that Kaepernick can do
is throw it long.
He's not gonna time a play or anything like that. The one thing – oh, my God, what Casey is doing right now. Oh, okay. They win. That's what it is. They're taking a knee. This game's over. All right, because I thought they had to kick a field goal. I'm like, oh my God, with a minute left, they're going to try to kick this field goal from, you know,
from their own 20,
48 yards. Like, and they're taking knees. Like, they should.
I don't even know if Santos can reach it from 48.
No, they won. But anyway, the game's over. Tyreek the Fruit,
especially when he's kicking a rock.
Yeah. All right, back to what the hell I was talking about here. So yeah, I mean, I guess he could throw one. The Jets' secondary is terrible. The Jets are liable to quit just as much as San Francisco is liable to quit. And it could be a good GPP situation.
That's the only thing that I can hang my hat on is it's going to be a bounce back. I mean, people like me are not going to play him because he's dead to them. And so if he does have a good week, you get him, you know, where nobody else is taking him again because they all got screwed last week.
Get him at a bargain. It's a worthy consideration.
But all in all, we can ditch this game and move on.
Yeah. Let's look to the next one.
Yeah, this one was where I labeled your chalk alert because it's the only point, the only game
total. This is the best game. I'm like, where is my awesome game? And here it is. Okay, so this is the game.
New Orleans, Tampa Bay. It's a pick 'em. Vegas is telling you.
Hang on. You know that shit changes.
I know it did, but it's not going to go 3 points one way or the other. It's going to still be a point, point and a half or something like that.
Don't make a strong prediction.
Uh-oh. Well, hey, I nailed Eifert on DK. I'm confident I got this one. It's about 1 point or 1.5.
Tampa -2.5.
Son of a bitch.
Yep. 51.5
and the total actually went up a little bit. So the
total didn't go up. The total 51.5. I don't know
it opened at 51. It went up half a point.
Okay, so it's up a little bit. Let's see here. Let me get to this game.
So if you look at the implied, they changed. It's like 26.5 for Tampa Bay, and it's like 24
went up a little
for,
bit. More
you know,
points
25.
For more points okay. for Tampa. Yay! Well,
I don't like New Orleans on the road. Vegas is telling me to play this game. I don't like New Orleans on the road. I can't stand Cooks. I like Breeze in a bounce back spot, but I don't trust him on the road as much as I do.
Trust
you know, at
him.
Home, and I'm inclined to trust him this week. I really am.
Trust him. Trust in Breeze. Trust in Winston.
Oh, absolutely. He's. I don't mind Doug Martin. I don't mind Mike Evans. I can't time Mike Evans.
Mike Evans is. There's nothing to time about him. He is awesome every single week.
Except I've played him.
You only played him once or twice because he's been awesome every other time. I've been playing Mike Evans every single week. Listen, Evans, yes, the chalk.
Oh, I agree.
The best matchup. I mean, there's a couple other really good. You love.
I'd play him over Antonio.
I like him probably more than Antonio. I love Odell Beckham, and I love Dez Bryant this week. We haven't gotten to that game. But as far as
– I love him way more than Dez. No offense to Dallas fans. But
I like them both. I like Dez too, though. That's going to be a crazy game. Or it could be some – well, we're talking another game. Let's talk about this game. Mike Evans, Cameron Brate. There's not a lot of receiving options. I don't like Doug Martin. I don't like Doug Martin here. They're using too much quiz for me. I mean, for a guy who didn't like Jeremy Hill, because Rex Super White, the White Rhino Burkhead, got a couple carries last week. I mean,
he got eight. You said eight was a lot.
Well, it's not a lot when it's compared to 24. But wait, could we name Rex Burkhead the right wino? I'm going to take it away from that other dude, Toby Gerhardt. We're going to place that name onto Rex Burkhead.
Not
because he has anything to do with a rhino or anything.
You just like calling him the white rhino. I didn't even know the dude was white, so what's to tell you? See,
that's what I'm saying.
I'm not like you, Kevin. No. I don't see color in people.
No, that's messed up. I only see it in my athletes. Because
we're headed down a slippery slope.
Just leave that alone. But here we go. Jaquiz, more involved last week. You know, seven. Again, I mean, I don't know. Are we – he's – they talk about, like, we weren't happy with – the coaches are coming out and saying we weren't happy with our running game. Here again, Doug Martin, 17 attempts, 45 yards last week at San Diego. Not some special team. 2 weeks ago at Seattle, 23 attempts, 87 yards. So they give him the ball a lot, averaging 3.8 yards per carry. Again, at home versus Seattle. He goes on the road at San Diego. 2.6 yards per carry, 45 yards, 17 touches. They bring in Jaquiz, who was good, let's not forget, in Doug Martin's
absence. He was great in that first week out. Well, for a few weeks. We rode that train for a while.
I was all over Quiz every single week. Like week one, all in. So
Quiz got seven carries, which we I think can both agree on is a lot.
Seven out of seven compared to 17.
Yes, I know you're going.
It's a lot because he just was coming off injury last week. Has this good game, seven carries, 30 yards, 4.1 yard per carry. Interesting, right? Same one reception takes to 21 yards. So
then in a 51-point game,
Doug Martin.
In a 51-point game, are you taking a chance on either one of them?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm not using these guys. So my point is, it wasn't about like, hey, let's use Jaquiz Rogers. He's literally the same price as Doug Martin. It's ridiculous. But he's fucking the same price as Doug Martin. Like, DraftKings is so on top of their salary, except for this. Like, they forgot to adjust Jaquiz Rogers. Thanks, guys. No one noticed that he's there. But, no, but it just means I'm not using Doug Martin. Fuck Doug Martin. Doug Martin has one good game a year. Screw this guy.
So are there only three options in that offense, Winston, Evans, and Brait?
That's the trio. So, you know, in a week when it's tough to find a tight end, why not – consider Cameron Brait, who no one ever plays, who's had multiple 20-point games, three of them this year, which is great, quite a few double-digit games on top of that, another three. You know, so he's got three 20-point games, three 11-plus-point games. That's six out of 13. Mm-hmm. So half the time, this guy's giving you a pretty good score. Now, he'll get you the three. He'll get you the terrible game, no question. But with Adam Humphries coming off of some crazy concussion last week, I really don't know who the wide receivers are for this team outside of Mike Evans. I don't even know. Who Russell Shepard? Hold on a second. Let's take a look at Russell Shepard. Yeah. Russell Shepard is the other guy. Humphries is out, got a concussion. Was Cecil Shorts on this team? Because that guy's a mess. Yes, he's already on IR. He's on IR now. So, Shorts gone. Humphries, concussion. Is he going to play? I don't know. Is he good? Probably not. So, who's the other guys? There's a guy, Russell Shepard. Okay, he's not had a game with more than a couple of targets, but very, very under the radar. GPP only kind of situation for Russell Shepard, sure. In this kind of a game, that could be a game where a Russell Shepard tests his ceiling. And again, we're not even looking at something like that. The reason you're not even paying attention right now is because on FanDuel, you don't need to play fucking Russell Shepard. But on DraftKings, you need a guy who's 3,500 who might have a big day. So,
right. I could get David Johnson and like two $6,000 receivers.
He's just not even listening to what I'm saying. But you know, yeah, I mean, on DraftKings, I got to use a guy. I got to fucking use Russell Shepard. And then – or Cameron Brait or Mike Evans. So talking about New Orleans, what's the deal with Mike Thomas? He hasn't practiced all week. So is he going to play? I don't know.
Yeah, that one's scary.
If he doesn't play, I like it if he doesn't play.
Please sure.
Don't play. Please don't play.
Willie Snead becomes a factor again to me.
This, but again, this is another one of those. Let's pay very close attention to the injury situation. Is he out on Friday? Does he practice? Is he a game time decision? If he's a game time decision, we just don't want to play. He's very expensive, so we don't want to play this guy. But it will lead to some increased targets for some of these other guys. Will Brandon Cooks finally – I mean, last week they fed Brandon Cooks. It's not that he didn't get targets. He had 9 targets last week, 8 targets 2 weeks ago. There was a zero in between, but let's forget about that one. So he gets enough targets, Brandon Cooks. He could have a big day. He'll be under the radar, low-owned, and he's super cheap on FanDuel. So pay attention, damn it. And then
he's cheaper than Michael Thomas.
He's way cheaper. He's cheaper than Michael Thomas.
By about $500.
But, I mean, he's $6,300 on FanDuel.
Yeah, and Thomas is like $69. So.
Yes. Thomas is – both of these guys, everybody's relatively cheaper on FanDuel. On DraftKings, Brandon Cooks is $6,400, which is difficult. That's almost Studley-level pricing. Willie Snead becomes a factor if Michael Thomas is out as well. And certainly, some of the other bid players for New Orleans – it's really tough to play like a Kobe Fleener, but he does.
I won't be playing him.
Wait. Hold on.
I know.
I am playing. All right. I just realized something. I forgot. This is what happens when I go to Vegas. I was paying attention. Josh Hill, the vulture, is out. Done. There's no one else to take away targets from Kobe Fleener. Mm-hmm. Which has thrust Fleener from his sort of secondary status of putting up shit games every single week and the occasional big game to, hey, I could really consider starting this guy because with no Hill in the mix, at least we know Fleener will get all of the tight end targets for his team. So I'm going to say this here, and I'm putting it on record. I like Kobe Fleener this week.
You're not alone. I mean,
I don't know if I'm alone or not. I haven't read anything.
I'm not with you, but I can tell you around the industry so far, you're not alone.
I haven't seen anybody else or heard anyone else. Just got home.
That's fine. I'm telling you, they're out there.
Okay. I like Fleener this week with no Hill in the way. Why not? The highest game, highest total, chalk. Let's get exposure to this game on both sides. Stack these fuckers up. Like a lunatic. Evans. Now, the running game, I'm really concerned about the Saints running game. So if you're looking for clarity for me on that side of it, I don't have any. Ingram's questionable all the time. Last week, he puts up a good 7 attempts. Last week was a weird week. I don't know what to make of it. He got targeted. Then Ty Towers playing. 2 attempts, 5, I mean, did nothing. I don't know what the hell's going on with these guys. I have no clue. If you have to play someone, it's going to be probably Ingram, but I wish this didn't have this freaking questionable tag. He hasn't practiced. I don't get it. It's very tough to play these guys. They're not practicing, so, let's pay attention to, I guess, to Mark Ingram's status as the week progresses. Certainly, as it was a couple of weeks ago, obviously it didn't work because Ingram played, but if Ingram sits for any reason, Hightower becomes a de facto sort of all-in play. Let's see what happens with that.
There you go.
But yeah, so lots of goodness in this game, lots of stacking. This is the chalk game of the week. There is some, I guess, argument to, in GPPs, if you're not going to use this game, like completely fading it. Just like last week. Anytime you have the chalk game of the week, there's a GPP argument towards just fading it and saying, fuck it. Let's hope that it's some shitty-ass dud game and it wipes out, 40% of the field in my GPPs.
New Orleans and Tampa Bay are in the same division, so.
Yeah, there's a division. I mean, there's reason to fade.
It's not the second time they played each other this year. It's only the first, but.
That's good.
They play each other again in 2 weeks. And
it can't
I'm telling
be
you,
that much longer. Like, season's almost
right.
over.
Shit'll change in 2 weeks. Whatever happens Sunday will be different in 2 weeks when they play again. So that's just what division rivals do.
worth note and definitely, but I mean, this is a game to get involved with. I really, Kobe Fleener, until we sort of sat down here and kind of did this, and I'm glad I'm doing this, he wasn't on my radar. I wasn't thinking about him, but then I remembered, yeah, with Hill out, Fleener becomes a very legitimate play.
I like Fleener. Let me ask you this. If the total in this game in Tampa Bay is 51, what the hell is it going to be in 2 weeks out in the Dome?
It's going to be higher. And
it's going to go up.
You know, it's going to be 53. But like, you know, what do you do? It's a tough situation. It's a tough situation because that will be the second game, and the book does say not to play that game. So I don't know. I don't know.
So, well, anyway, we can move past that one, get to Seattle and Green Bay. This was one I thought had some – I think this one has some shootout potential to it, even at the total that it's at. Being in Green Bay, I don't like the way the offense and defensive matchups match up. And I think you've got the strength, you know, a little bit of the strength of these teams, you know, with Seattle going into Green Bay. Seattle being favored going into Green Bay, you know that that's the situation that you typically like with the road favorite sitting in a stadium,
yeah,
where the frickin' home team, even though it's the Legion of Boom or whatever, they are not necessarily as stout as they've been in the past. And Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he's going to throw it. He's going to be chucking the hell out of that ball. So with a 46.5 point total, it's not usually one that we look at, but it is one that for whatever reason, with Jordy and Davante Adams and, you know, a couple of those guys, and then on the flip side of it, you've got Green Bay that cannot guard.
What was the total? Wide receiver. What was the total at that time?
It was 46.5.
Okay, so it's still there. It's still there.
You've got Russell Wilson, who's mobile. That's where Doug Baldwin feeds, and you got these guys that can scratch. I like the air attack in these games on both sides. I don't like the running game on either side, but the Jimmy Graham I think's in for a big game. This one is one that I will have exposure to both sides of without a doubt.
I definitely have a couple of things to add here. And some notes on this particular game. So my biggest concern is Aaron Rodgers' ankle situation. He's just, you know, he's a mobile quarterback, and when he's a little bit hobbled, he's just not himself. So that's something to monitor, keep an eye on, because he just does not – without the scrum, much like – I mean, he's actually a very similar player to Russell Wilson in that way. He's at his best when he's mobile and especially when he's able to improvise and do all of that. So if Rodgers isn't going to be mobile in Seattle, he's going to be a sitting duck back there for the Seattle D-line. So there is some risk here. There's definite risk. This is not like a cashy kind of situation. And you know how much I love Rodgers every single week in cash for like as weeks and weeks and weeks. Since week 4 or 5, I've just been rolling this guy out week after week in cash because the Godfather gets a piece of all the action. I love that shit. But the Godfather. But.
Gotta do it.
You gotta do the Godfather thing. I'm a little nervous about the ankle with him. If it wasn't for that, though, I don't think, you know, Green Bay's at home, that as good as Seattle defense is, that they're going to stop these guys, that they're going to slow them down that much. So is it Jordy Nelson? Is it Davante Adams? I think Nelson, he's been the top guy, and Adams is also really good on that side of it. On the flip side, and none of the running backs on Green Bay are worthy of rostering. Mm-hmm. No one. On the flip side, there has been this disturbing phenomenon of spreading the ball around for Seattle recently, which has taken me a little bit off of my love for Doug Baldwin. They're just not featuring him the way that they had last season. Last couple games, they've been pushing. I mean, even though he's so inefficient, they continue to go to curse. I just want to look at the target. I have not looked this up.
Nine.
Last week. Nine targets, 5 receptions, didn't do anything. Whereas Baldwin last week, 7 receptions, 7 targets. Like, he's so efficient. Why aren't they throwing it to him? And then obviously Tyler Lockett finally had a big game. So I'm a little bit concerned about how they're spreading that around. Baldwin is going to have a hard time bringing value at 6,800 if they're continuing to target Curse and Lockett at the numbers that they are. Not to mention, of course, Jimmy Graham, who gets his 9 targets. So you know, what's up with that? Now, Graham is great. You know, he's been really good. He's been solid. You know, he has quality games. He has some duds. You know, he has a big game in him any week.
I think he's in a good spot.
Let's see what Green Bay's done against tight ends.
And I think they'll feed him.
Green Bay has been pretty good against the tight end, but nothing scary. Ranked 8th overall. So they haven't been bad against tight ends, but you never know if that's because they haven't faced any. Looking at defensive rankings versus tight end position is one of the sketchiest stats you can ever look at.
Mm-hmm.
Just never know if the other team was featuring the tight end, like why the tight ends aren't scoring.
I lean more towards Jimmy Graham. Looks like the resurgence of the New Orleans Jimmy Graham the past, say, 4 or 5 weeks. And in New Orleans, he was pretty damn matchup proof. And I know that's because he had Drew Brees making him famous, but at the same time, he's kind of showed that upside. And therefore, I'm more inclined to disregard DVP.
Yeah, I mean, actually, the DVP number, again, it's interesting here where the DVP number is actually good and the DVOA number is not as good for them. So it's too confusing. But so, I mean, I think the move here is, yeah, Jimmy Graham is good. Doug Baldwin, again, a little too expensive for the production he's bringing. Yep. Certainly on DraftKings. I'm not looking at the FanDuel salary right now.
Same bid. He's like $6,800.
A little spendy for my taste.
It is, because for $300 more, you can get Jordy. And, you know, who would you rather have, $6,800 for Doug Baldwin or $6,600 for Jimmy Graham?
If I want to spend down and take Fleener for $5,300.
Well, Larry, you could do that too. $6,800, Larry Fitzgerald, Tyrell Williams. You know,
I mean, I like Tyrell Williams better.
Baldwin's actually $7,000.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, so, I like Tyrell better.
I like
Baldwin. I
had Baldwin penciled into a lineup because I thought this is a good spot for him, a good matchup. I went looking at the game logs. How often has he hit 14, 15, 16 points? He's a pretty damned up and down player. So he's a good GPP guy because he's got 2 TD upside. He can, you know, he can do it, but I'll be damned if I can predict when. So, I kind of got off of him and I looked at Tyrell. I looked at some other guys.
Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to play that guy. And I love Doug Ball, but I'm playing him all season. But
I do too.
It really is tough to play him.
I think there's potential in GPPs if you're stacking this game up. You can run Devontae Adams with Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin and hope the game shoots out. You can, you know, you can do some combinations in there. And if you're going to win a GPP, if, you know, Baldwin's going to need to go off. So what do you care if he brings you 7 points? You're trying to win a GPP with it. But for cash, hybrids, that type of stuff that we like to focus on, I don't think he's very safe.
No. No, not a safe play. Not a safe play, I agree.
If I was going to try and hit an upside pick, I'd probably pick Adams over Baldwin at this point on the other side of the field. So, but that's just me.
Yeah, they're spreading it around too much. Baldwin needs to be targeted, and he needs to be a focus. Not to say that they won't focus on him this week, but based off of the last couple weeks, you know, they really are trying to get these, especially Curse. Like, why is it always Curse?
Yeah, I know.
So, and he never catches it. So,
if you're trying to win a huge GPP, maybe those are the ones you pick as a curse and hope this is the week he finally catches all 9 of his targets.
We're all trying to. We already talked about if you're out there trying to win a huge GPP, you're probably not making any money.
There you have it. Next game. That was pretty blunt, dude. Atlanta at L.A. Atlanta going west to L.A. It's intriguing. 4.5-point road favorite. 46-point total. That does not make me want to play Jared Goff. I will say this. Kenny Britt is a surprisingly consistent son of a bitch for L.A. I can't stand playing Rams in fantasy because I've got 5 years of them being worthless beat into my head. But Kenny Britt's actually intriguing. And we know that there's no Trufant. We don't have Atlanta's secondary, like, you know, with a shutdown corner in there. I don't mind Matt Ryan that much. I don't think he's my favorite play on the board. I actually like Devontae Freeman and Taylor Gabriel. Let me ask you those. Do you like those guys?
Well, I mean, I like Taylor Gabriel if Julio Jones is legitimately hobbled.
I hear turf toe.
With the turf toe situation. Like, we don't know exactly what's going on. But I mean, if he's legitimately hurt, then yeah, I like Taylor Gabriel in that situation. But know that he is a crazy you know, another one of these DraftKings only type crazy risk reward type players. The good thing is with actually, you know what? I'm gonna scratch that. With Sanu clearly hobbled and possibly not gonna play, yeah, Taylor Gabriel becomes a legitimate punt situation in that game. That's fair.
Let's go back 5 weeks on FanDuel. 7 points last week, but 24, 14, 16, and 14. 14 points or more in four of the 5 weeks at 5,400 on DraftKings. It's almost 3x every week.
DraftKings is also super cheap. Also, I mean, even this week.
That has my attention.
Yeah, even this week, he's really, really – now, he's done it all based on, like, big plays. He had the one or two big – like, he had the big game versus Arizona, the Patrick Peterson game. You know, there was a game where he had one reception for 76 yards and a touchdown that got him 14 points. So, I mean, he's not exactly doing it on volume, but – you know, they're giving him a running play here and there. He's kind of like a poor man's Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Oddly, that Tyreek Hill now has a poor man's version of himself, but he's kind of like that. He's kind of like a poor man's Tyreek Hill. He really is. So my thought is, sure, why not? I mean, Taylor Gabriel, certainly a DraftKings play, maybe even a FanDuel play, especially if Sanu or Julio – is Hobble limited? Okay. Something going on there?
I think they're both a little wonky. I mean, Julio got 7 for whatever 100 yards. That's hard to shake a stick at that. But at the same time, every time I kind of clicked onto the game, I kept hearing people talk about, is he a decoy out there today? Is he? I'm going, what? Look at his numbers. He can't be a decoy. But they're talking about it. He's kind of a little gimpy and what? And then this week, this turf toe stuff comes up. I'm like, really?
Maybe. I mean, Julio had a big game last week, so whatever. I mean, I played him a lot last week, and
the only thing he didn't do was get in the end zone. Which, I mean,
he was not a decoy. 9 targets, 7 receptions, 130.
I agree.
Yards. He didn't have a Julio game. I mean, he hasn't had a Julio game
since honestly, 300
in a very, very long time, like almost all season. Well, Julio has been, dare I say, a bit of a disappointment this season.
Maybe season long.
Season long, pretty much on a weekly basis, he's been a bit of a disappointment. He had that crazy game and everybody got excited, but realistically, you know, he's been a 22 point player, 20, 18, 14, 21, 18, 14, 3, you know, 2. He's had those terrible 3, you know, like he's had this floor that's been disastrously low.
He's the fourth priced guy on FanDuel.
Yeah, he's the fourth highest priced.
He's usually top 3, if not top 2.
If you compare his stat lines to Mike Evans, it's mind-blowingly different.
Mm-hmm.
Evans has been consistent. He's crushed it. He's had the monster games, the 25s, the 20, the 32, the 26s, even the bad games are 10s and 8s and 16s and 12s. And you know, he's had these bad games. Everybody has, you know, no one can do it every single week. But Evans has been much more consistent, and his big games have been bigger. He's been the better player this year.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Obviously, Antonio Brown. Odell Beckham has a great matchup. But again, there's a few of this stud group. There's a few to choose from here, all looking really good.
Let me ask you about Todd Gurley on the other side of the ball. Do you think if there's ever a week to play him, it's this week?
I'm not going to say if there's ever one, but I'm not going to go that far. But Gurley is usable here. Leave it at that.
There we go. I'm with you.
He's usable. Like, you know.
He's finally cheap enough that he might actually, at home, favored, might actually.
Well, he's not cheap enough to me on FanDuel.
He's getting very close.
Yeah, it's close. It's close.
But anyway. Move on. Sunday night football game, Dallas at New York Giants. Dallas 2.5-point favorite, obviously a division game. 47.5-point total tells you Vegas likes it. It's prime time. Dallas shines in prime time. Can New York keep up?
Yeah, I mean, they're at home. I think they can hang in there. I like the Giants to hang in there in this game. I like it to be – I'm not sure if it's going to be some – I like it to be a close game. I can't say if it's going to be an over type game or not. Maybe not. It could be a defensive sort of battle.
Right.
Well, but
Division game.
I think, you know, these teams know each other really well. They're going to keep it close. They are. They're going to keep it close. And one way or another, I'm not a big Manning fan. I'm not a big Giants fan by any stretch. And Manning's been terrible. But he's definitely been better at home than on the road. Like, at home, Manning has actually been getting the 20 points per game. On the road, he's been shit. But in home games, like, he is a – people talk about Ben Roethlisberger as a home road splits guy. Eli Manning is a home road splits guy all the way. He is shit on the road. I mean, yeah, he had an okay game at Cleveland, but, I mean, it's Cleveland. But if you look at their other road games at L.A., I mean, I think that was in London, 7 points. At Green Bay, 11 points. At Minnesota, 10 points. Now, some of those teams are good defenses, but at Dallas, you know, so he's not good on the road. He's just not. And at home, though, he's a little bit better. Odell Beckham, 16 targets last week.
Yeah, I know. That's ridiculous.
He's not been incredibly efficient, right? Odell has not gotten you a 30-point game. Well, he had the one big game this season, the 44-point explosion. But he hasn't passed 27 points outside of that one game. He could test his ceiling in this one. And not the 44-point, but I think he's got 27-plus point type potential here. 32. You know, he needs 32 points to bring value at DraftKings and for GPP, and he has a shot of hitting that. Like Odell very much. I don't like anything else about the Giants. Maybe Eli to Odell just to save the money. I guess if Odell's having a crazy game, Eli will be having a good game as well, so why not? But that's it for the Giants for me. No one else. I don't like Sterling. He never, you know, he's good for 50 yards. If he gets you the touchdown, it'll be okay. Cruz has been shit. Rashard Jennings, I don't know what his deal really is. I really don't. 6 attempts last week. I mean, how do you play a guy coming off of a 6-carry game? Who got the carries? Who got them? No one.
Nobody.
No. You know what? Paul Perkins got 7. Paul Perkins outsnapped this guy. So, you know, like, you cannot trust Rashard Jennings at all. He's not trustworthy. Paul Perkins out-carried him. Now, the AP could say, well, it was game flow. They were down. But were they? I think that was a close game last week, wasn't it?
If I look at the score here, I can maybe tell you. I was looking at
I watched the down.
Shepard and OBJ's numbers. I was trying to find those, but
no, I was on the plane. I didn't see the game.
24-14.
Was I on the plane? Did I watch this game?
I don't know. You're supposed to be placing my bet on the roulette wheel, whatever.
I don't remember, but I feel like I must have watched
it. Eli threw it 40 times. Like you said, Perkins had 7 carries. Rashad had 6.
No. He was 11 of 24 last week.
It says 24 of 39.
Oh, no, I'm looking at the wrong number. Oh, I'm looking at the score. I'm like, what the fuck? Oh, okay, here we go. Yeah, you're right. He threw it 39 times, 24 completions. Classic Eli Manning.
That was on the road.
No, he did a shit game. 13.7 points. Inefficient.
No, I'm just saying 39, 24 of 39, he was on the road. That's all I was saying.
He threw a lot, but inefficient. It's classic Eli Manning kind of game. 2 interceptions. He's just not that good.
I wish I knew what his QBR was last week.
They only scored 14 points, so like no one was putting up a big number.
He threw 2 touches, but he threw 2 picks. So
Shepard, his standard 8 targets, 4 receptions, 21 yards. Can you even play this guy? He got the touchdown, gets you 12 points. I mean, he's cheap enough that you could play him, but he did deliver a 2 the week before. And he's never really gotten past like 14 points. So there's not a lot of upside with Shepard. And I've never used him on the right week. Never.
Sadly, that's Mike Evans for me.
Now, on the flip side, so obviously for Dallas, we're always looking at Zeke. You know, it's not a great matchup, but whatevs. Zeke is kind of matchup-proof.
Zeke is matchup-proof.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I'm already ready to declare him matchup-proof.
Yeah, he's a matchup proof player. He hasn't had a bad week yet. And then Dez Bryant. Last week was his worst week, and I faded him. But he still put up 20 points. It wasn't like some bad game. Or what was he, 18 points? He put up 20 points last week. Like, good game. You know? 20 carries, 86 yards, got a couple receptions, got a touchdown. He's going to get the touchdown. They're going to give it to him down by the goal line. So, you know, he's got a good shot at scoring, giving you 100 yards. Like, he'll get you 17 points. He's a little spendy, worst case, and he can get you up to 29, 30. I mean, the ceiling is unlimited. So, yeah, you like Ezekiel Elliott here. I like Dez Bryant in this game, too.
I'm not as high on Dez as I would be Zeke. I'll tell you, though, I think Zeke slips a little bit under the radar this week.
Well, everybody's trying to reach up. Look, I just had to make a lineup.
It's a rivalry game. You know, it's a little – it's a good hammer play.
I just had to make a lineup, and
– I like Zeke. I think he'll catch him a little lower than you expect to be.
I don't think he'll be high on because, again, everybody's going to go towards Bell and DJ. So, yeah, you can get him for a slightly
low ownership. And they'll miss – if they go low, they'll just go down to Shady low.
You can get – yeah, well, there it is. So you can – when be in the prices middle. Are close together, he's in the middle. He's in a good spot. But this is going to be potentially a closely fought game. Certainly, I like
– he'll get usage. There's no doubt.
Like these, I think – like I said, I like Odell and – it's a shame you can't fit them both in a lineup, but I like Odell and Dez in this one too and Zeke.
You probably can't on FanDuel where they're giving them away for free.
Yeah, you can do it on FanDuel. You can get the, you can get them all in there. You can stack up this game. You can get them all in there, but not on DraftKings. All right, next one. So, yeah we Monday like the night. Sunday Night Hammer.
Monday night, if you're playing that slate that includes a Monday night game, Baltimore at New England. New England, 9-point favorite, 44.5-point total. I'm not sold number on this being a blunt game.
Number down to 7-point. It's not a blunt game. You don't want to play blunt.
That spread tells you it is, but I don't believe that it is.
No.
Because Baltimore is a little bit stout. And, I mean, we've said that past couple of weeks. I don't even know if I have the need to play this game. Honestly,
it's not in most of the slates, but there is the primetime slate, so it's important to talk about the game and get a sense of what's going on.
I don't mind Edelman.
I like Malcolm Mitchell here very much.
He's got the big play potential.
Baltimore, just to get the rankings, they're number 7 against opposing quarterbacks.
Do we like the defense again? Do we like New England defense with that spread, that 9-point
spread?
Nah,
not after Flacco's hot. Not as hot as he was. Baltimore's number 1 against running backs in the league. Number 1. And that's the thing.
That's why I don't like blunt.
Now, you can pass on Baltimore. You could throw on them. You can throw on them. But they're number 1 against running backs. So blunt is a no-no. But Belichick knows this. There is a sneaky play here. We're going to find it. Belichick knows that Baltimore is number 1 against running backs. You know what he does when he's facing the number 1 team against a certain position? He just doesn't run it. They just completely don't game plan to run up the gut with Blunt.
With Blunt?
Yeah, they
don't.
So
you're thinking this is a breakout for Deion Lewis?
That is what I'm thinking. Now, what I want to look at here real quick is All right. I need to get into a different slate here. But I want to look at the game log for Lewis versus White, just to make sure that White isn't vulturing too much action here. And let's get a look. Just give me a second. I'm going to have this pulled up on my screen in a second here.
What I would look for, if I could, is if Lewis's snap count's coming up. Because I don't know that in targets.
I can't get
that. You're going to see it from that.
I can't get that here. But what I can see is Lewis getting some, you know, runs from scrimmage. Last week, are you ready for this? 5 targets, 4 receptions, virtually no yardage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what – now, they were playing the Rams and, you know, whatever. James White, 5 targets, 4 receptions.
About the same, yeah.
So here's the problem.
And James White carried the ball 3 times. Deion Lewis carried it 5 times.
Lewis and White basically mirror image one another,
mm-hmm.
which I wish, makes things difficult.
I wish one of them was gone, because then you'd have the role we had last year, which was Lewis running, you know, early and Blunt running late, and you could kind of count on if the game stayed late, Lewis would stay in there. If the game got out of hand, Blunt would come in.
The one thing going for Lewis potentially is the fact that they're working him back from it, from a long-term injury,
uh-huh.
and maybe the reason last week he's not seeing as much is because they're slowly working back in, and maybe this week he sees a little bit more. I do think there's going to be more to go around in a week where the 18 attempts that they gave to Blunt last week simply will not probably happen again against the Baltimore Ravens, who are going to stop those types of runs up the middle. You can't run on them like that. They're not even going to bother with it. The same way they play the Jets. When the Patriots play the Jets, they don't even bother to run it with Blunt. That's not to say that in a blowout game in the second half they won't start running it. They will. But as long as the game's competitive, as long as it's close, they assume that they can't run on the Jets. Like, Baltimore's a better version of that. They're a better defense. They're what the Jets were supposed to be. So defensively versus the run. So they're just not going to do it. So, I mean, there's enough goodness to go around for both Lewis and White in a game like this. This is the Patriots, you know? So there's enough here to go around. He's cheap. Again, this is not a FanDuel play, but on DraftKings, with the PPR, this is a potential way to go. Wow, we took a long time with this punt.
We did.
There's no one on the Ravens that I'm really going to be interested in this game. I mean...
No, I'm not even chasing Flacco. I'm not banking on garbage time.
No. Not Flacco. I don't know who the wide receivers are that are number one on this team. Flacco put up like a massive game last week. And, you know, Mike Wallace got 11 points.
The thing that I mentioned is there was a conversation between Flacco and his coaches where he said, I really like to open this offense up, whatever, squeaky wheel kind of thing. They did. I don't think that that's a fluke and an outlier. I just don't think they're going to do it against New England. I want to see what happens.
No, they're going to have to do that against New England, but can they? So, well, like, is Pitta?
Okay, so
like,
I don't. Are we chasing Pitta? No.
Are we chasing Pitta's points?
I don't think that we can do anything about it this week. I think that I hope that they fall flat on their face, but it was a we're going to try and open this thing up in the future
kind of conversation.
And then next week, you know, people say, well, you didn't do it against New England, so screw them. And then Flacco hopefully is a thing next week because we can jump.
Well, here's the one thing I'll say about Dennis Pitta. 11 targets, 9 receptions.
Finally got in the end zone.
90 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, he was the featured guy. More targets than any wide receivers. Now, they've done this before. They've pulled this game before. And... you know, it hasn't continued in following weeks. Like, I've chased points with Pitta in the past, and it's never worked out. So it's just something to keep in mind.
Well, but, I mean, tell you, I'm not touching Baltimore
Yeah, it's not a good spot for them. I mean, New England's pretty good against tight ends, too. But mainly, I've chased points with Pitta. Like, I've been down this road, and he never has that. Or in the past, he hasn't been able to replicate it. I certainly don't think he's replicating what he did last week, but I would just like to see, like, if I could know that he was going to get 8 targets this week, yeah, I'm down. I'm down with the pit. But I don't know. Maybe he gets nothing. And he only has a couple of good games. And then after that, he's always at the 10-point mark, so, or the 8, or the 0. You know, he's not had special games.
If anyway. I felt that he had the chance to get to the 17-18 mark, I'd take the 8 or 9 at his price. I'd be okay. I'd be like, whatever. I took my shot. It didn't totally crush me.
He's no Fleener.
But but I don't see him. I don't see him testing that ceiling this week against Belichick. So,
no.
All right. Well, that'll put a little wrap on this one. I don't know about you. I'm tired, bro.
Yeah, I'm pretty shot here. I think we should. Let's wish everybody good luck this week. Kick ass. Take names.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch me some High School Musical.
Yeah, watch Troy and
watch Troy Bolton tear it up.
Troy Bolton tear it up. But no, listen, it's another. It's week. We're week 14. We're down to those last few weeks. We want to like get the most out of football, it's going to be gone soon. And this is the thing, like, it's going to be gone soon, and we're going to have this long gap of no football. It's going to be horrible. So,
what are we going to do with ourselves? We're going to have to play NBA. We're going to have to play some hockey. We're going to have to play some golf. We're going to have to play some baseball. Seriously, MMA, even, what the hell? NASCAR. Wow, you just don't have enough to think to do in the off season for
NASCAR.
The continued coaching and things that you get in the DFS Army.
No,
so
we'll keep it going. Listen, we have our guys doing NBA like going crazy right now. We got projections. The Domination Station is coming for NBA. We're about to launch our NBA product. Our optimizer is literally getting better every single week. The next update is going to blow people's minds as far as like the usability and some of the ease of use and some of these features that are just going to make it so much better. So we have a lot of great things coming up here. But, you know, last few weeks of football, let's make them count. Let's keep representing. Let's keep crushing it. I love it when everybody sends me these screenshots of big wins and all that stuff, like the $5,000 win,
hell yeah.
And the $8,000 and the $7,000 and the people going and Hunter going to the Bahamas and this and that. We had a guy win a trip to the Super Bowl, I think, the other week. A lot of cool stuff. So
you know for a fact if I see that stuff in our winner's circle or something, that crap's going out on Twitter fast.
Hell yeah.
I love sharing everybody's success. That's like probably the thing I get the most out of in the Army. So
I get a kick out of rooting people on. I love it when there's sweat.
Absolutely.
Going on.
I'd almost rather them win than me, because I play for $5. They're playing for, you know, they're winning thousands. My $5 turns into like $12.50, and I'm like, awesome.
Yeah. I always will root for the big dollar member over my small dollar stuff. But let's have another great week. Let's everybody play disciplined. Keep it fun. Manage expectations, and you know, make a bunch of lineups.
And don't half-ass it.
Yeah, don't dabble.
Do the research. Get in there and win this thing.
No, just listen to what I have to say. That's it. Me and Chop. Listen to this.
Right on. There we go.
All right. Have a good week, everybody.
Sweet. All right. Good talking to you, man.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today using the coupon code podcast on DFSArmy.com to unlock 20% off your monthly subscription and get 2 free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.